Studs! Studs! Studs!
All right, welcome everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM. Tim Conway Jr. and Brian David Whitman, man.
Timmy Conway Jr., look at you, man.
All right. I saw this thing earlier in the week, and the guy who bought the LA Times.
Right, I remember it was up for sale.
Sam Zell is his name.
Right.
And Sam Zell is a very wealthy man.
He would have to be.
Who I believe is worth $4.5 billion.
With a B.
Yeah. I think he sold his company for $36 million. A lot of it went to shareholders, but I think his take was $4.5 billion.
Are you serious? Yeah.
So he must have sold it for $36 billion.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I say million?
I think you did.
Oh,
forgive me if you did.
Billion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
$36 billion, and I believe he took home $4.5 billion. Yes, net worth is $4.5 billion, according to Forbes magazine.
See, I'd stop there. I wouldn't buy newspapers. I wouldn't start a new business. I would stop. $4.5 billion in the bank, clear. I'm done.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, but these guys who make $4.5 billion, they want to make $40 billion.
Right.
That they want to keep going.
You're right about that.
And it's that kind of, it's like, you know, guys who are really horny are also really ambitious in business.
Yep.
And I don't know which came first, you know, running after chicks or running after the dough.
That's a good question for the audience.
Well, I don't know if they can answer it. But
this audience can answer any question you pose to
is
them.
Is that right? All right. But this Sam Zell, he's number 52 on the Forbes top 100 wealthiest men in the nation.
In the nation,
the richest Americans.
Okay.
The 400 richest Americans, he's number 52.
Wow.
With $4.5 billion.
I would think he'd be higher on the list.
So would I. I mean, you got to be kicking yourself in the ass. You worked your ass off. You didn't party. You didn't go out drinking with the fellas. You didn't go out chasing broads. You really sat there and concentrated on your job. You made $4.5 billion. And then Forbes comes out, and you go, whoa, wait, let me see where I am. All right, Forbes. All right, 1, 2, 3, 21. Can't swear there. Use the F word.
Right, he would, though.
43, 48, 49, 50, 51. Oh, here it is, 52. 52!
Oh, I would curse the names of 1 through 51. I mean, if I broke my ass to make $4.2 billion, 51 guys did better than I did?
Yeah.
Any chicks on that list, by the way?
Well, let's see if we find our first chick. William Henry Gates. You know who that is? Bill Gates?
Mr. Bill Gates, yes.
$53 billion.
Oh, is that right?
He's 50 years old. He has more than $1 billion for every year he's been on the planet.
How about that?
And
gives a lot to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They do a lot of charity work there. I think.
Well, that's not a huge deal. I mean, you have $53 billion. Of course, you're going to give something away.
I was trying to add some information, Tim. I sit here, you lead with the stories, and I throw in little snippets, and I'm just threw in the foundation there just to, you know.
There you go. Well, all these guys do.
Sure.
I mean, Warren Buffett, $46 billion.
Oh, so Bill Gates beat out Warren Buffett?
Yeah, by literally $7 billion.
Well, I think Warren Buffett, didn't last year we see reports that Warren Buffett was giving his money away?
I think so.
Yeah.
Sheldon Adelson, $20 billion. He owns casinos in Vegas. Casinos and hotels.
Now, how is it that with all the time you and I spend in Vegas, there's a guy with $20 billion worth of properties in Vegas named Sheldon Adelson, and I've never heard his name until you just mentioned it?
I've heard his name before, but he's not like a Steve Wynn. He's like behind-the-scenes dude.
Oh, I see. Like a venture capitalist.
He's not really into the publicity.
All right.
He's not standing on top of his hotel, you know, saying, you know.
Come
to win.
He should, though.
I would be.
Oh, I'd
if I had a hotel named Conway in Vegas,
please.
I'd be on top of it, you know, just playing with myself on the roof.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Sheldon Adelson. All right, anyway, Lawrence Ellison. Ellison, yeah. He's out of Redwood City, California.
And what does Mr. Ellison do?
I think he started Oracle, or he's a big wig at Oracle. $19 billion.
Okay, well, that's not bad.
Paul Allen, he was with Microsoft. I don't know if he still is. I believe he still is.
He was, and I knew Paul Allen.
Did you?
What a great man.
$16 billion, and I think he owns the Seattle Seahawks, or the Portland Trailblazers as well.
Yeah, Paul Allen. And who was his partner?
Bill Gates.
Oh, all right. Maybe I'm not thinking of Paul Allen, but he had a partner who passed away. But $16 billion, wow.
And he's only fifth on the list.
How about that?
Jim Walton from the Walmart crew.
Right. A lot of Walmart kids make it on these lists.
Yeah, he's in $15.7 billion. Christy Walton and family.
There you go.
But that's, that's a chick who inherited the Walmart inheritance.
It all started with Sam Walton.
Sammy, man.
Slamming Sammy Walton, man.
And then there's another Walton there. Then Michael Dell is ninth. He started Dell Computers.
I interviewed him once. We had him on, I think I was down in San Diego doing an ill-fated morning show, and we booked Michael Dell, and Michael Dell came on, and he was on the phone, and he was just like a nice, normal dude, called himself, you know, didn't have an assistant call for him.
And he's worth $15 billion.
Yeah.
Huh. Whoa.
Whoa. Well, we had an 800 number for him. The call was free. He didn't have to pay for the call.
All right. Then Alice Walton, another Helen Walton. All these Waltons with $15.5 billion.
And they all have hot names, you know, Alice, Helen. Yeah. You know, they all must be smoking.
Who else is on this list? Oh, the Google guys. Larry and...
Larry...
Sergey?
Larry and Irwin.
Sergey? Sergey Brin? Is that the guy's name?
Oh.
S-E-R-G-E-Y? Sergey?
Yeah, the two guys who put together Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both have $14 billion.
Oh, they're doing well.
Jack Crawford and family.
I don't know who that is.
They started Enterprise Rent-A-Car. $13.9 billion.
Off car rentals?
I guess there's some money in that business.
Oh, God. What are we doing here?
I don't know. And then at 17, Tom Likas.
Yes.
That's wild. $12.6 billion.
Yes, thank you.
Wow, and, very impressive, Tommy.
Thank you. It's the product of a lot of hard work and doing a great radio show for men every day.
All right. Then number 21, Rick Dees, everybody.
Well, you know it. I love to go all the way to number one, right back into the hits. And the weekend is here, so it's a great time for hit music.
Yeah, Rick Dees. How'd you make all that money, Ricky?
Well, you know what? A lot of it came from the Rick Dees Weekly Top 40, where we'd count them down all the way to number one, right back into the hits right now. And this man is touring all over America. So would you love to see him at the Pontiac Silverdome? That's going to happen on Saturday night. What a show that'll be. It's also his birthday this weekend. Rick Astley, the birthday boy, number 12.
All right, then you got Kurt Kerkorian with $9 billion. He's at 26. Let's see. Philip Anschutz, the guy who owns the Staples Center and the Kings and everybody down there.
How much is he worth?
$7.8 billion. Who else would be on this list that you'd know? How about Sumner Redstone?
Oh, yes, of course, Mr. Redstone.
You work for Sumner Redstone? Everybody I'm looking at right now works for Sumner Redstone.
I'm very proud to work for Mr. Redstone. I know I speak for everybody when I say that.
Yes, and he's worth $7.5 billion. And then it goes on and on and on. But,
now, forgive me, Tim, just one question. Mr. Redstone at $7.5 billion ranks where on the list? What number?
Sumner Redstone ranks 35th.
35th?
Yeah. There's only 34 wealthier people in the United States than Sumner Redstone. David Geffen's on that list.
Yeah, he does well.
At number 50 with $4.6 billion.
Can you imagine this kind of money?
Jesus Christ, that kind of money, man.
At one point, if you had that kind of money, say you had $1 billion, at some point, just for kicks, would you say to your guys, because you'd have a few guys, you know, who you really trusted, like an assistant.
Or girls.
Sure, you want to be politically correct.
I don't know if I had $1 billion, I'd be hanging around a lot of guys.
No, I mean associates, you know, who took care of your finances.
I see. I'm sorry.
And you might say to that guy, you know what? What do I get? What do I have? I have $3.8 billion. Do me a favor. Liquidate all of it. I want to see it in hundreds. Bring it over.
You know, this is a true story. If you calculate how much Bill Gates is worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if he's walking to his car one day and he sees a $100 bill on the floor and he stops to pick that up, he's actually losing money. His time is worth more than that.
I believe that. That's sick, but I believe that.
Isn't that wild?
Is that wild?
Isn't that great?
All right. Have you
all right.
Heard,
so anyway, so I bring this up because Sam Zell is the new owner of the L.A. Times, a local company here.
Right.
Tribune. He owns Tribune. I guess television stations. I think Channel 5, they own that as well.
Yes, they do. The Tribune company, more than just the L.A. Times.
And he had a very frank press conference, I believe it was earlier this week, and he was talking to a reporter, and a reporter asked him, because now he's got a lot of reporters working for him, and he probably can't stand these people, because they're not really into making money. They want to just tell the story, and they don't care, you know, if it's flowers in India or, a dog that's loose in the green zone. You know, they want to tell these stories, and sometimes nobody gives an F.
And sometimes they're looking for the story.
Right.
You know, flowers in India is great, dog loose in the green zone, fine. But they're looking for, you know, the bombshell story.
Right. All right. So anyway, this is the press conference he had when a reporter asked him a question. At the end, he tells her the big F you.
Oh, this is perfect.
This guy's worth $4.5 billion. He just bought Tribune.
He owns the paper.
And a reporter, I don't know if this reporter works for him or not, and we bleeped it out here, but at the end, he says to the reporter, F you.
Oh, that's perfect.
Here it is.
I'm sorry. I can't, you're giving me the classic, what I would call journalistic arrogance of deciding that puppies don't count. I don't know anything about puppies. What I'm interested in is how can we generate additional interest in our product and additional revenue so we can make our product better and better. And hopefully we get to the point where our revenue is so significant that we can do puppies and a rat. Okay?
Wow. I guess it just goes to prove that
at the end he gave her the FU.
It sure did. That $4 billion, it doesn't necessarily make you happy. I mean, you can still have a real healthy degree of anger in you, so you can still fire away at people like that.
You know what? I totally applaud that because he has, you know, these people who work at the LA Times. He's having it's a pain in the ass down here at the LA Times. He keeps hiring these guys and saying, go in there and cut 100 jobs out of the newsroom.
And the guys keep quitting.
And the guys say, I'm not going to do it, and they quit.
Right.
Right. So he's got to hire another guy to do that and another guy. So somebody asked him about this. They asked, you know, there are a lot of women who are offended who work for Zell or Sam Zell.
Right. Right?
And again, he's worth $4.5 billion. He bought the LA Times. And a lot of people were offended by what the guy had to say.
Uh-huh.
But mostly women. Right. So this guy stands up in the audience and he says, I'd like for you to apologize or address the fact that you told that woman to go F herself.
Oh, just moments after the.
I think this is like a day or two after. And here's what he had. This is rather lengthy, but it's good. And here's what this guy, Sam Zell, who owns the LA Times, had to say to this young man who stood up and said, I think you offended some women. Here it is.
I'd like to talk not about sales, but about something that I think is important to air out. A number of people, and I get confidential email as well, a number of people of the company have been, and especially women, have been deeply offended by some of the statements you said in other places and other venues. I know you did the mea culpa, and I think we all know the history, but I wondered if you would address that here, because it's taken so long for people, and again, especially women, to rise in the profession, and then they have felt personally disrespected by some of your comments.
Well, first of all, I would not take back anything that I have said.
How's that for a starting point?
He's worth $4.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
He can do whatever he wants.
Of course he's not going to take anything back. But you know what I love about that piece of audio, Tim, is I have a mental image of the reporter who asked the question jotting down that response.
Yeah, it was done like in a university campus.
Right.
In a big auditorium. And he's sitting there leaning against the podium. Sam Zell's leaning against the podium listening to this idiot ask this question.
Right.
You know, in an economy where, you know, the LA Times is not doing that great. You know, and Tribune, they need to, you know, investigate every avenue, and everybody's got to work their ass off for these companies to survive.
Right. The gentleman might be on edge.
Listen, Sam Zell has to worry about how to pay 19,000 checks every week. He doesn't worry about the one or two women who are offended by FU.
Well, that becomes clear as you listen to him.
Listen, it goes on here, though. Again, this is the guy who owns the LA Times now in Tribune Broadcasting. He said to a reporter, a female reporter, F you, and he used the whole term.
Yeah, after telling her that she seemed to typify what he had seen before, I think he referred to it as journalistic arrogance.
Right. All right, here he continues.
And I wouldn't take it back, not because I disrespect women. As a matter of fact, if you look at my history, I have promoted more women to senior executive positions in like my career than almost anybody else I know about. My number one person for many years was a woman, an extraordinarily competent woman. So I don't have any issues of that at all. But you turn it around and you put yourself in my position.
Here we go.
You look at a company that requires 14 signatures for somebody to go to the bathroom. You go to look at a company that requires 10 signatures for somebody in York, Pennsylvania to buy a $10,000 Jeep. You listen to people in the newsroom at another paper than this one literally talk about their total disregard for the company, for the Tribune, that it's all about how do I win a Pulitzer Prize? I don't really care about anything else.
He starts blasting away again.
Wow.
At these guys.
You hear attitudes, we don't do it that way. We don't do it that way. No, we can't do that. Over and over again. I got 19,000 people out there. Some are men, some are women, some are others. I don't care. The challenge for me is, how do I get your attention? How do I get your attention? And call me a schmuck, that's fine. Call me disrespectful of somebody, prove it. I don't think anything I've said anywhere was directed toward anything more than one, breaching. In other words, this company lives without the 11th commandment. And God damn it all, we better get that 11th commandment back on the front page here. The 11th commandment is, thou shalt not take oneself seriously. Nobody.
Him?
Oh, my word.
Sounds like he might be breaking the commandment.
That is so classic.
But the 11th commandment is, thou shalt not take oneself seriously.
That is so classic. And you know what? That should pertain to everybody in the United States.
Right. And granted, Tim, no doubt. But doesn't that sound like a dude who takes himself pretty effing seriously?
I don't think so. I think this is like a casual guy who, listen, he said, you can call me a schmuck. You know, he's the head of the company.
Right.
He said, you can call me a schmuck. I don't care. I don't take myself seriously.
Yeah, that's true.
I wish that everybody in this country would live by just this one simple rule.
The 11th commandment is, thou shalt not take oneself seriously.
Wouldn't you love that? All the serious mother effers you got to deal with on a daily basis. Wouldn't you like to just kick them in the ass? The guys that are serious about their job, serious about their craft, serious about their relationship. I'm serious about this.
Can you imagine this, guys? If everybody at your office was the guy who was voted in high school class clown. Like, that's every dude at the office.
Yeah, it'd be a better place to work.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I can't stand serious mother efforts. I really can't.
Nobody is more self-deprecating than I am. If I can get everybody in this room to be self-deprecating instead of worrying about what's politically correct or what's not, and instead worrying about how do we win, how do we succeed, how do we put out a better product, how do we make more revenue, how do we make a profit, how do we provide for our retirement, those are the challenges. Pick on me on those issues all day long. But the real question for me is, how do I get your attention? How do I get into a sense of urgency? How do I get you to understand that the
future of this company is currently right out there in front of us. And if we keep operating the way we've been operating in the past, there is no future.
I hope the clowns down at the LA Times heard that.
I hope the reporter got the entirety of the answer. It was kind of a long answer.
Yeah, if you work for the LA Times, listen up, gang.
How old is that gentleman?
I don't know. I think he's in his 60s. Late 60s, early 70s. All right, if you work for the LA Times, listen, there's the new boss in town.
How do I get you to understand that the future of this company is currently right out there in front of us? And if we keep operating the way we've been operating in the past, there is no future.
You hear that, gang? You hear that down there, downtown? You folks listening?
Yeah.
If you keep operating and keep producing that crap that nobody reads, it's over.
That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
Okay? Plain and simple. Now, you tell me, how do I get everybody's attention? Please? Hi, I'm here, and I'm here to make all nice to you. We're not going to reduce any employment. We're just going to keep losing money, and then one day it's going to be over. So how do I get your attention? I wrote that mea culpa, and I said, I went over the line, and I went over the line on purpose, not accidentally. I went over the line on purpose to see if I could bring you to the edge. Because that's what we got to do. I got to get you to the edge.
Yeah.
I got to get you worried more about our revenue tomorrow morning than anything else. Because that's our survival. Everybody's made this whole thing into this giant thing, okay? LA Times has written about it. They took it off their website. I told them to put it back on. Now, you want me to talk slower?
He can't. I bet, you know what? I bet he loathes almost everybody who works for the LA Times.
Oh, I'm sure.
That kind of attitude, the LA Times, the reporters down there just freak out when they hear this kind of crap.
So now this man owns, what are his properties now? Tribune?
Tribune. So he owns Channel 5. He owns the Chicago Tribune.
Right, big newspaper.
He owns, I believe, WGN or some television station.
Radio and TV.
He also owns the Cubs. The Cubs were part of the package. He's going to sell some of it off.
Right. I think.
But that is classic. Wouldn't you love to work for a guy like that, man?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. When people work for folks like that, they never forget them. If you work for somebody who, I don't know if, and I guess the decent question is, does that motivate you? I mean, if you work for that guy, does that type of management technique motivate you? For some people, I'm sure it does, Tim. You're right.
I think it does because the political correct crap that, you know, that you and I have to deal with and everybody who works here at CBS, the videos we have to watch about sexual harassment,
yeah, the books,
what to say in the workplace.
The books we read.
Yeah, we got to read, you know, how to treat people of different races, different religions, different sexes, and it just beats the creativity right out of you. And this guy is one of the few guys left in this country who doesn't give an F about political correctness.
Mm-hmm.
He can't stand it. And I think later on he says political correctness is what you see at the bottom of the elevator shaft when the doors open.
It's a great piece of tape. That's really great. What an interesting character.
Yeah. Do you work for a guy like this? And does this kind of stuff motivate you? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. We'll hear a little more of this. This is Sam Zell, the new owner of the LA Times, Channel 5, the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Cubs. And he's blasting away at the people who work for him, saying, you better get your S together because I'm about to lose an F load of money.
And this is the guy you mentioned earlier who has hired news directors or operators of the paper, the LA Times, and said, you know, you got to fire 25% of the newsroom. And all of these guys say, no, I won't do that. It's bad for the paper. And
next.
They quit. And he just goes and finds somebody else.
You get another guy in there. All right. Does a guy like this motivate you? 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. It's the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
How soon is this organization and this company going to wake up to the fact that we're on the edge and we're either going to win or lose and we've got to better goddamn focus our efforts on how we get better, not on who's insulted. Nobody's trying to insult you. You think I need to do this? You think I needed to take on the Tribune because this is my way to make a... Maybe I can get a plane, or maybe I can live in a penthouse, or maybe I can have a house in California if this works. I got all that okay?
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Sam Zell has bought the L.A. Times and Tribune, or L.A. Times is part of Tribune, and he owns Channel 5. He owns Tribune Broadcasting, Tribune, I guess, the big paper, the
right.
Chicago Tribune.
WGN, a radio station, TV station in Chicago.
Chicago Cubs. And he has a way of motivating people.
Yes.
That is unique.
It's a management style.
Yeah. Listen to a little more of him blasting away because somebody said that women were offended because he told one woman, F you. The whole F word.
Yeah, we played that too. Of course, we bleeped it. But was this, Tim, a press conference or a meeting of his? Did he bring his employees together?
I think his employees.
Okay.
They're all his employees.
I see.
So I'm out here busting my ass and I'm swearing at you and you and you and everybody. And I'm saying, get the up and realize that this is it, man. This is our chance. And we either make it or we don't make it. And I can pussyfoot about it. I can tell you nice little stories. We can all go off into the sunset and down the elevator shaft, loving all the vignettes. But you know what? At the bottom of the elevator shaft, they have this special room called Politically Correct. I want to win, and I'm going to win. And what I'm looking for are the people in this company who are prepared to step up and not worry about this or that. Worry about one thing.
B-word.
How the do we win?
Right.
And how do we get better at it? How do we generate more revenue? How do we make a difference? Those are the challenges. And along the way, how do we create an enormously successful corporation that provides both opportunity and sustenance for our employees today and a future for them tomorrow? That's the challenge. That's what everybody should be talking about. Not my f***ing language, because it doesn't matter. And if it does, you're in the wrong place. And I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you to understand this is the game. And we're either going to win it or we're going to lose it. If we spend an awful lot of time writing and pontificating about Sam's language, we're going to lose. If we spend a lot of time trying to figure out how we're going to generate more revenue tomorrow morning, then we're going to win. So that's my priorities. And if that's not an apology, f***ing bad. It's telling it to you straight.
Now, that is so classic.
Let me ask
too effing bad.
Yeah, let me ask somebody. Every day of that, can you imagine that every day?
Well, I mean, it's not every day. Yeah. I mean, it's just when he's really pissed off.
Right, but intense guys like that are usually pretty intense on a daily basis.
Well, listen, he bought the LA Times. He's looking at it, and he's looking at Tribune. He's looking at the Chicago Tribune. He's looking at these papers who the circulation ain't what it used to be.
Let me ask you a personal question.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't want to answer it, you don't have to answer it. Would you rather work for a guy like that or, say, for a radio manager like managers we've worked for in the past, you know, who are a little more subdued and a little more laid back and maybe are a little more sensitive to people's personal circumstance?
I'd rather work for this guy.
You would? Okay.
Yeah.
You would? All right.
Yeah, because this guy doesn't BS you,
mm-hmm.
and you know what he thinks about you.
Yeah, there would be no doubt.
A lot of other guys, you're not sure. You know, you always hear, like, rumors and stuff of what's going on.
Right.
But this guy will tell you. You're an a-hole or tell you to F yourself, and I like that.
Right.
All right, 520-9710. You work for a guy like this. Robert in Huntington Beach, you're on 97.1.
Hey, you know what, guys? I think this guy is sitting here pounding on these people, and the answer to the question that he's looking for is, I just bought a stupid business that doesn't make money anymore. I mean, why are you sitting there telling your employees, how are we going to make money? How am I going to turn this around? The media industry has completely converted. The guy's a total tool. You don't stand in front of your employees and ask them how to fix a company when you're a multi-billionaire with a portfolio of businesses. He should have a leadership team that's showing them what he needs them to do, not somebody give me the answer.
I mean, right. So you're.
No, I don't think he is. I mean, he later on went on to say that there was a guy who works for the LA Times who said to him, and Sam Zell wasn't in the room when he said this. He was told the story secondhand.
Right.
But the guy said, how do you, you know, what's the last 2 months been like since the new ownership? And he says, it's terrible down here. He says, nobody's telling me what to do. Used to be, you know, people would tell me what to do from the top of the corporation. Now he goes, nobody's telling me what to do. I don't know what to do.
Right.
And Sam Zell goes, that mother effer makes $750,000 and I got to tell him what to do every day?
Yeah, right. That's fair.
Get the Christ out of here.
Well, you know, it's the caller raises an interesting point. I mean, obviously some of Mr. Zell's properties, like radio stations and TV stations and the Tribune Broadcast Company, I mean, they're all very viable industries, of course. The newspaper industry is one that is on the bubble, as they say, because newspapers, I think, are less important with the advent of the internet. But maybe what Robert's saying, and he could speak for himself, is that instead of barking at his employees, he should be up there with a PowerPoint presentation saying, I'm worth $4 billion. This, we're going to do this, 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 and this.
I'm sure he does. He was just responding to something, you know, a stupid reporter. I mean, we don't have the tape of
right.
You know, for the last 5 years. This is just part of it.
Right.
Hey, listen, you don't make $4.5 billion without having a plan. And I'm sure he has one for this company, or else he wouldn't pay that much money for him. Let's talk to Dusty in Redondo Beach on 97.1.
Dusty. Yeah, I just think this is hilarious. I love this guy, to be honest with you. And what he's doing is he's speaking to these people. He's not asking them how. He's trying to get viable information from them to tell them how to do their job. And obviously the LA Times has been a different newspaper compared to a lot. They've been very left in their ways and the way they think. But now, I mean, this guy will get me to read the LA Times just because of the way he is.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, buddy. That's probably his motivation, too. I mean, this made international news. It's all over YouTube. It's got, you know, millions of hits.
What do you think is his motivation?
I think it was to get a lot of publicity.
Oh,
you know,
he did that.
And I think it worked.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, he told this woman reporter in 2008, in the most litigious, politically correct atmosphere that I've ever seen in the 44 years I've been tooling around this planet, he told a woman reporter the big F you.
Right, an employee.
Yeah. F you.
Right.
I think there needs to be more of that. Wouldn't that be great? Guys walking around the halls here, you know, yelling at each other, swearing at each other.
It'd be different. You know,
a lot of it's happening over in that corner office.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I bet the workday under this dude, the workday goes faster.
It's probably longer, too. I mean, it's probably more hours.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't want
you. This guy was probably in. This guy doesn't come in at 10 a.m. and leave and go play golf at 3.
Right. That guy's there at 6.
Yeah. That guy wants answers.
Right.
Yeah, you probably get a heart attack working for the guy, but it might be interesting. You know, it might be he might motivate you to get your ass into work every single day.
A lot of stories to tell.
Yeah. All right, is your boss like this, where they just blast away? They're not politically correct. I think that's the wave of the future and the new trend. I hope it is.
I think a lot of people actually, you know, now that you bring this up, Conway, I think a lot of people are actually bored by their boss.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, well, you know, walk in there and they go, "Oh, this guy bores me." You know,
I know this. If you worked for a guy who, you know, made $4.5 billion, and he's coming down the hall after you've heard this tape, you're going to have your ass together. When you go to a board meeting, and the guy says, "Give me a 3-year plan for the LA Times and how we're going to make money," and you got 3 months to do it, that's not something you do. You know, you let a month go by. You go right home and start that night.
That's
working
right.
On it.
That's right.
You don't want to go into a boardroom and be the subject of that kind of hostility.
Of that wrath.
And I think that motivates people. All right. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Are you motivated by a boss who swears at you and tells you to get your ass in gear or else this business is going out of effing business? And that's what Sam Zell, the new owner of the LA Times, did.
Yeah, maybe you
blasted away.
If you're just tuning in, you missed the audio tape of his message to his employees, which is colorful, to say the very least.
Yeah, this is what started it all when he was talking to a reporter. At the end, he tells her to go F herself.
I'm sorry. I can't, you're giving me the classic, what I would call, journalistic arrogance of deciding that puppies don't count. I don't know anything about puppies. What I'm interested in is how can we generate additional interest in our product and additional revenue so we can make our product better and better. And hopefully we get to the point where our revenue is so significant that we can do puppies and a rat. Okay?
All right, Rob and Chatsworth, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah, I'd love to have a boss like this. He can work for me anytime. I'd work for him anytime. He's a realist. And wow. I work for a big box retailer that does quite a few $1 million a year, and they're all pussies. You can't step on anyone's toes without hurting someone's feelings, and they're all a bunch of pussies. If I could talk that way to my employees and make an impact, I would do in a second. I work for this guy. He may be a blowhard to an extent, but you know what? He knows what he wants. Is not afraid to say what he wants and go after it. And I admire a guy like that.
Rob, in your job, are you a middle manager or are you?
I'm the store. I run the entire store.
Oh, you
do? I report to DMs who are pusses, and I report to the VPs. And just it's the same. I deal with conference calls that are they recite numbers to me like I can't read them myself.
Right.
And I can deal with stuff.
Conference calls are most of the time are a waste of time.
Oh my God! Conference calls and gets a waste of time.
Yeah,
hours a week. Wasted.
I know. You get 19 people on the phone at the same time, and one guy will say something that everybody already knows,
right.
And then another guy will say something that everybody already knows, and then all of a sudden you look at your watch, you go. It's been an hour and a half on this phone, and I've learned a thing.
Right, and they still don't seem to be preparing for the end of this call.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, absolutely not. And like we go through a stage of shops called mystery shops in my company, and the company is just so it's so freaking irritating. The fact that they tell us when the mystery shops are going to be. How can you be mystery shop? And they say they're going to be there every other Monday between the hours of 10 and 5.
Those people who come into the store to make sure you guys are doing everything right?
Exactly.
Yeah, why would they tell you?
I couldn't tell you. Why does the company have conference calls every week that tell me the same things that I can sit there and read on my store computer? Why can I not talk to people in a reality way? I mean,
Have you ever tried, buddy? I'm sorry, Tim.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask if you've ever tried, Rob, to motivate people or talk to people kind of in the style that we heard a moment ago on the tape, and if so, what was the ramifications, if there were any?
Behind closed doors, I know who I can speak to, who I can't speak to, but generally, I speak to everyone with a very soft tone and very politically correct, and my whole staff laughs at me because they know how politically incorrect that I am at work, and as impolitically correct as I am at work, I say nothing compared to what I want to say.
Now, what about, how many people you got working for you?
I have a building of about 35.
35 people.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of people.
Right, that's tough. I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, you'd like to be able to talk to people on like a normal basis, but you're always worried about a guy quitting and suing you.
Right, or
you know?
a chick doing that, right.
All right, Bob in L.A., you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
All right, man.
I just wanted to just let you guys know that's my new boss.
Sam Zell is your new boss?
Yep.
You work for Tribune?
Yeah, locally. I'd rather not comment on that, but
right.
As far as... him being our new boss, there's a lot of people that are kind of still trying to figure him out. He is definitely a original type of person. So,
what do you make every year?
What do I make of him?
No, how much do you make every year?
Oh, it depends. Because
well, let's give me the last 10 years, and I'll figure out an average for you. How much did you make in 1998?
1998.
Seems to be a
hard
way to do it.
He doesn't understand the question, so I'm going to figure it out for him.
45, he said.
All right, 45,000. How much did you make in 1999?
About 55.
How much did you make last year?
85.
85. Okay, that's the number I'm looking for.
All right.
So $85,000, you know, you're in a job where you have people working under you.
Yeah.
And so you're going to probably run into Sam Zell at some point in these conferences.
Oh yeah, I could have attended the meetings he's had, but I work in a remote office, so I wasn't able to get over there.
Right? Are you looking forward to your first interaction with Mr. Zell, or is it
definitely? I feel I'm right along the same lines as his way of thinking, so I'm glad to finally see somebody come in and cut out the BS that goes on from day to day with micromanaging and overmanaging.
Right, well, you better get your ass in early and stay late, dude. This guy's going to rip you a new one.
There's a new sheriff in town.
All right, folks, we have the top 10 list from David Letterman coming up, then News at 9 with Robin, and I believe the Avenger girls are going to be in shortly after Robin's done with her news.
Yeah, they're very hot. They're coming in.
What a night.
Yeah, they represent the L.A. Avengers. And then, of course, we have 10 o'clock tonight, totally open phones.
Yeah.
To wrap up the week on this Friday.
Perfect. All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Hit it.